ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 44. This is the last verse of the chapter. Etavan eva lokesmin Pungsang nikshaya sodayaha Tivrena bhakti yogena Mano manyarpitam stiram Etavan eva lokesmin Pungsang nikshaya sodayaha Tivrena bhakti yogena Mano mayarpitam stiram Etavan eva Only so far. Loke asmin. In this world. Pungsam. Of men. Nikshayasya. Final perfection of life. Udayaha. The attainment of. Tibrena. Intense. Bhakti yogena by practice of devotional service. Manaha mind. Mayi in me. Arpitam fixed. Stiram steady. Translation. Therefore, persons whose minds are fixed on the Lord engage in intensive practice of devotional service, that is the only means for attainment of the final perfection of life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here, the words mano, mayi, arpitam, last line, which means, quote, the mind being fixed on me, are significant. One should fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, or his incarnation. To be fixed steadily in that freedom is the only way of liberation. Ambarish Maharaj is an example. He fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. He spoke only of the pastimes of the Lord. He smelled only the flowers and tulsi offered to the Lord. He walked only to the temple of the Lord. He engaged his hands in cleansing the temple. He engaged his tongue in tasting the foodstuff offered to the Lord. And he engaged his ears for hearing the great pastimes of the Lord. In that way, all his senses were engaged. First of all, the mind should be engaged at the lotus feet of the Lord very steadily and naturally. Because the mind is the master of the senses, when the mind is engaged, all the senses become engaged. That is bhakti yoga. Yoga means controlling the senses. The senses cannot be controlled in the proper sense of the term. They are always agitated. This is true also with a child. How long can he be forced to sit down silently? It is not possible. Even Arjuna said, Chanchalam himana Krishna. The mind is always agitated. The best course is to fix the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, mano mayarpitam stiram. If one seriously engages in Krishna consciousness, that is the highest perfectional stage, all Krishna conscious activities are on the highest perfectional level of human life. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 25th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Glories of Devotional Service. So the text again, etavan eva lokesmin punksam nikshaya sodayaha tivrena bhakti yogena mano mayarpitam stiram. Therefore, persons whose minds are fixed on the Lord engage in the intensive practice of devotional service. That is the only means for attainment of the final perfection of life. And this is the last verse, Glories of Devotional Service. Similar to yesterday's verse, we spent some time discussing where phrases from the verse, text 43, are resonated and vibrated, and either word for word or something very similar in connotations found elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. And the same is true for this verse. Etavan evalokesmin, that phrase appears several places in the Bhagavatam, exactly, verbatim, etavan evalokesmin, and tivrena bhakti yogena. Anyone know that verse? Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Right? Chakri? Akama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama, three different options. Having no desire, having all desires, or having a otherworldly desire. All desires meaning worldly desires. And desiring liberation. Whether, regardless of the position that one is in, the recommendation of the Bhagavatam is tivrena bhakti yogena, tivra bhakti. Tivrena, in the word for word here in this verse, is intense, or it means it's strong, very powerful. It means making such an effort. Tivrena bhakti yogena. That verse is from the second canto Bhagavatam, where it's the title of that chapter. It's chapter 3 of canto 2, where it's Devotional Service, Change of Heart is the title of the chapter. So one's heart may be attracted to worldly pleasure. One's heart may be attracted to, I want out of here. One's heart may be attracted to nothing selfish, simply service to the Supreme Lord. Whatever the circumstance, A, B, or C, tivra bhakti is recommended. Yajeta purusham param. It's the param, the topmost attainment, and to approach the Supreme Person, purusham param. So same here, tivrena bhakti yogena. The way that Prabhupada has translated is, it seems like one thing is the cause of another thing, and that thing is the cause of another thing. So the way that he's translated it and expressed in the purport goes to the last line, mano mayarpitam stiram. The first business is to try to fix the mind. In the description of Maharaj Ambarish, a similar verse that Prabhupada liked to quote often. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo is a verse describing the practice of Maharaj Ambarish. First thing, fix the mind. Savai mana Krishna, where? Padara vindayo, upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. And then following that, fixing the mind, or at least striving to fix the mind upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes what he would do with his senses. Vachangsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varanam. He would speak, he would use his legs, he would use his hands, he would use his ears, he would use his eyes, he'd use his nose, he would use his senses for service to the Supreme Lord. So something like that, just like the yajna that we did yesterday evening, the first thing is fixing the mind by calling the Supreme Lord's name. Or when you rise in the morning and you take your bath, make the body clean, and after making the body clean, mantra, Om Keshavaya Namaha, applying Tilak. So, fix the mind. Before you even begin activity, you fix the mind. And fix the mind is also through sound. So, Va Changsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varana. But the intent is the mind's activity precedes the rest, the other senses, because the mind is the ruling sense. And following the ruling sense, the subjects of the ruler follow. This etavan eva lokesmin, I'm going to refer to two other verses where it precisely like that appears. One is in the sixth canto, chapter 3. The early chapters of the sixth canto are describing the Ajamila story. And the Ajamila story is being told by Shukadeva Goswami to respond to a question. The question that Maharaj Parikshit asks is how to prevent living entities who have performed sinful activity from having to suffer the sinful reactions and, specifically experiencing hellish existence, because the hellish planets have been described at the end of the fifth canto. So hearing this, he's, yikes, look at this, what sinful people have to endure. What can be done to relieve them? It's a compassionate question. It's also a universal theological question. That is, as soon as there's an idea that there's virtue in sin, what to do about sinful people and the suffering that they're going to endure? So all religions have their answer to that question. The answer to that question makes up different religions or different theologies. And the way that the Bhagavatam addresses that, rather than taking this ism or that ism or another ism, the Bhagavatam discusses principles that are deployed by this ism, that ism, or the other ism. That is, the principle of counteracting the sin by atonement methods, as in the Karmakanda rituals. At the end of the Karmakanda rituals, there's something that's done at the end, where if there is some mistake that has been made, then there's some counteraction for that mistake, or in general principles of atonement for some sinful deed. It's embedded within the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. That's considered incomplete. Atonement is nice, but it's incomplete because, assuming it's done properly, it neutralizes the prarabdha karma, the immediate reaction, but it doesn't take away the tendency to do the same sinful activity again. A comparison is given to the elephant's bathing, hasti snan. He bathes very nicely, comes out at the end of the at the edge of the lake, grabs some dust, and with his trunk throws the dust all over his body again. Hasti snan. So what's like that? What's the use of cleansing oneself of neutralizing reactions to sins, and then go out and perform more sin? It's incomplete. Better that it's performed than not, but there's a superior process. So the superior process that's next suggested by Shukadeva Goswami is jnana. By knowledge, one may be checked from doing sinful activities, knowing that's going to bring some sinful reaction. But knowledge is not sufficient either. People may know something is sinful and still do something sinful. Criminals know it's against the law to do crime and they do crime. So knowledge alone is not enough. And enforcement of law, and people know they're going to get punished if they commit a crime or perform some sin. Knowledge alone is not enough. It's good. Better there's knowledge than no knowledge, ignorance. But it's not sufficient. So then the process that's recommended is the process of devotion. By the process of devotion, if properly applied, then even the tendency to commit sin again will be eliminated. And to confirm or to give an example of that, the power of devotional service, he then narrates the Ajamila story. And at the end of narrating the Ajamila story, he speaks about the importance, the power, spiritual potency of bhakti, starting with the chanting of the holy name. So here's the verse 6.3.22. This verse is like the summary of all of that section in Shukadeva Goswami's own words. And it's a nice summary of our process of Krishna consciousness. Etavan evalokesmin pungsang dharma para. Dharma para, para dharma. That's the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you remember from the weekend, dharma protita kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranam satam. The topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is Paradharma, and it's not going to speak about the other kinds. Kaitava Dharma, that which takes away from the living entity the opportunity to achieve the ultimate goal because they get absorbed in rituals that don't address the essence of the soul. You lose the essence of the soul, you're robbed of what dharma is meant to deliver. So, paradharma. Go back to the verse. Etavan evalokesmin pungsam. Pungsam is generic term, people in general, living entities in general. Pungsam dharma para smritaha. Smriti means remembrance, or when one takes up the process of paradharma, it's the indeed for all the people of the world, it's the best. Bhakti yogo bhagavati. That's the means of counteracting the sins to the degree that the sins are, even the tendency is removed. Bhakti yoga bhagavati. Devotional service unto whom? Krishna, Bhagavan, Personality of Godhead. Tan nama, his name, grahanadibhi, beginning with chanting. So So devotional service is awakened beginning with chanting, and when that mature stage of chanting and mature stage of devotional service is accomplished, then paradharma, it's the counteraction of sins and sinful tendencies. So now we'll go back to the verse, mano mayarpitam stiram, about fixing the mind. Prabhupada would regularly express that how to fix the mind, chant Hare Krishna. So the fact of the matter is, when we chanting Hare Krishna, the mind is not so steady. It's not fixed in the holy name. But at least, you know, the beginning, the awakening of the soul's original Krishna consciousness is made possible through that chanting. Like someone's asleep, and when they're asleep, there's one sense that's still active while the other senses are dormant, and that's the sense of hearing. Wake up, wake up, the house is on fire, wake up, wake up. Through hearing. So similarly, the conditioned state, Krishna consciousness is dormant, but it's aroused by the spiritual sound vibration, that sound of Krishna's name. And the remembrance of Krishna is made possible. So it should be that when we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, our thoughts go to the sound vibration. Should be. And we can practice being attentive to the sound of Krishna's name, and in that way fix the mind. Mano mayarpitam stiram, or tannama grahanadibihi, beginning with chanting. And then we can do other things from our chanting. We can cleanse the temple and see the deity and smell the incense and tulsi offered to the deity and hear the messages and use our hands, you know, walk to the temple and so forth. So we can use our senses following the activity of the mind. It will naturally follow if we do chanting nicely. It will naturally follow. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo. Here's the translation of that verse. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. That's this etavan evalokesmin. So it's like a blanket. It's not this group of people, that group of people. If you're born in this place, or if your religion is such and such, it's all categories of human beings. It's the best in the determination of the Bhagavatam. And another verse, which is also a summary verse, is Prahlad Maharaj speaking, and he's speaking to his classmates, and which means he's speaking to like anybody, everybody. And he's explained the process of devotional service to his classmates, and they respond by saying, Prahlad, where'd you learn this? We never heard this in class, and certainly Hiranyakashipu wasn't teaching about devotional service. And where'd you learn all this? He said, before I was born, I heard from Narada. And he described all about it to my mother, and I just happened to hear it too, and after I was born, we went back to the palace, and in association with Rani Kashipu, she forgot everything. But I didn't forget, and that's where I heard it, from Narada. And then he describes further about the process of devotional service, and then says to his classmates what he learned in the womb was, Etavan evalokesmin pungsam. So far the verse is the same. svartha para smritaha ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvatra tat ikshanat. So svartha, we had a little lesson about swabhava. Remember? Swabhava. Now this is same prefix, sva, artha. So let's put it together. What does sva mean? Own. One's own. And bhava means nature or mood or mentality or feeling. And sva, artha. Artha means interest or goal. It's self-interest. Real self-interest, not like, you know, the materialistic kind of, you know, like the selfish person. The real interest, what's in the interest of the soul? Svartha. It's in the real interest of the living being. It's the real purpose of the living being. Yet svartha tat ikshanam. Tat is a pronoun, and it's referring to Govinda. His ikshanam, his relationship with, it's the self-interest of the living entity to establish their relationship with Govinda. And that's done by the process of devotional service. So here's the translation. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere, tad ikshanam, eyes, seeing the relationship with Govinda, seeing all things in relationship with Govinda, seeing Govinda or Krishna. To see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of life, as explained by the revealed scriptures. So this is Prahlad's message to his classmates, and this is also, now back to this verse, this is Etavan Evalokesmin. This is Kapila Dev speaking to Devahuti. He's speaking specific to her, but he's speaking in a general way about not just you, Devahuti. This is for Etavan Evalokesmin, for all gradations of people. And then Pungsan Nikshaya Sodayaha. The ultimate benefit. Nikshayasa is the final perfection. There's Shreya and Nikshaya. Nikshayasa, ultimate perfection. And Udayaha, the attainment of. So you can think of it either way. The way the Prabhupada has done it is the means for nikshayasodayaha, the means for that is tirena bhakti yogena. And it starts with fixing the mind. Stira, steadily. Not like sporadically, steadily. So it takes practice. This is the best means for all persons of the world. Therefore, persons whose minds are fixed on the Lord engage in intensive practice of devotional service. That is the only means for attainment of the final perfection of life. So we're practicing in different stages of our spiritual evolution. We're practicing devotional service. And what we can take from this instruction by Kapiladev is this Tivra Bhakti is really important for us. Like, you know, practice devotional service very carefully, very Tivra. Tivra is a word that is sometimes used with fire. It's like, it's intense. Not just hot, but it's intense. So, Tivra Bhakti, the fire of devotional service. We should practice attentively and enthusiastically. And we should practice bringing the mind to Krishna. That we're chanting and practice bringing the mind to the holy name. The holy name is there, it's just our mind is elsewhere. So bring the mind to the holy name. And by that application of those two things, then perfection, the perfectional stage of life, nikshaya sodaya, one will attain it. The process is proper, apply it carefully in these two specific ways. And that's the end of the chapter. Then he's going to speak about material nature. You know, what happens if you don't do that? What goes? What's on the other side? Okay, any discussion? Questions? Yes?
I was thinking of the sentences you told about only the. So you said like atonement just neutralizes the sinful thing, but does not remove the tendency. So I was thinking about like if the tendency sometimes like sinful thoughts or some kind of tendencies would be removed, like if the reaction, like if you do the atonement, you know, the reaction would be removed. So if we don't have that reaction, sometimes we, because of karma, we get something like, you know, again to make the sinful activity. So that because of the reaction is removed, the sinful thoughts or sinful things won't pop up. So in that case, the tendency won't.
No. The tendency is not just from previous reactions of previous deeds. It's not only from that. It's the modes of nature. That's the swabhava term. Supposing someone is a thief, and they do some atonement because they stole something. It doesn't mean that the tendency is to be a thief is gone. Somebody's a tendency to lie. And, you know, they go through some exercise, they apologize and various, you know, but the tendency to lie doesn't go away, etc. Tendency for something. Somebody is an alcoholic and they undergo some cure for alcoholism, but, you know, they count the days, how many days they're remaining sober, and then, you know, they can revert back because there's a tendency.
So how would that devotional service would remove the tendency? What,
because the original consciousness of the soul becomes restored. And weakness is when one's consciousness is weak, then one can become infected. It's like a disease. So if you're Prabhupada sometimes would refer to this typhoid Mary. You know who that is? You've heard of typhoid Mary? Typhoid Mary. There was an epidemic of typhoid going around. In different places, it would show up over here and show up over there and show up over there. So they started, you know, wondering how come it's showing up over here and over there and not elsewhere. That they did some testing and they found that there was a particular woman named Mary who had intense amount of typhoid in her body, but her resistance was very strong, so she was going along la-di-da-di-da. Wherever she went, she was spreading typhoid like anything. Because her resistance was strong, she wasn't exhibiting the symptoms. But she was, you know, she was carrying the infection. Or here's another example of the same thing. Prabhupada was asked, when there's a disease that's spreading around, is it someone's karma that they get the disease? And someone's karma, good karma, they don't get the disease? And Prabhupada's answer was, if one's resistance is strong, they won't contract the disease. And if one's resistance is weak, they'll contract the disease. So, if our Krishna consciousness is strong, even there's something out there, the material energy, the modes of nature, it doesn't affect one. So, devotional service works because the tendency is removed by awakening our Krishna consciousness. The absence of Krishna consciousness is the tendency to be the enjoyer of that which is Krishna's property, a thief. And that tendency is taken away by recognizing things belong to Krishna. Tarikshanam Govinde, seeing all things in relation to Krishna. So you can, that's not by mental adjustment or by any atonement, not by prayaschitta or knowledge. It's by awakening of our Krishna consciousness. Then knowledge is supplied, and oh yes, then we don't misuse things. The tendency is because the natural tendency is restored. That's saying your resistance is strong. I don't have any interest in doing something outside of Krishna. I don't have any interest in it. No, thank you. It's not a big deal to say no thank you. I don't contemplate. Well, maybe. There's no question. Pussycat? Okay. Try to chant, okay. That's what it is. Where's the mouse? I thought that's what it was. Anything else? Yes?
Ramesh, this is a topic on your response to Sujamata, you were saying how when one is Krishna conscious, one is actually feeling that relationship with the Supreme, then whatever's happening on the outside doesn't affect one. So something I've been pondering recently is that we're in our services, we're trying to establish relationship with others, and doing so. It has to be, I guess the phrase that you use is loving detachment. You know, how do you establish relationships yet not invest emotions such that you're expecting and having hopes and expectations of that person? So I want to question if you could speak a little bit on that, on feeling shelter or trying to express myself properly.
It's kind of all over the place.
All over the place. How do we extend to others without?
By being attached to Krishna. By being attached to Krishna.
We're not there yet.
Well, then you can't do it.
Yeah.
But that's how you do it. To the degree that you can, that you are attached to Krishna, you can do that. But it's our means of purification. It's a beginning. You have to begin somewhere. You begin where you are. There's a long journey. What do I do? I'm far from the end point of the journey. You begin your journey. And, you know, start with fixing your mind on Krishna. Well, I'm not there yet. Okay, well, practice fixing your mind on Krishna and begin the journey. Because Krishna, fixed mind upon Krishna, that's the nikshraya sodayaha. That's the attainment of the ultimate perfection. So you begin with the end in mind. You heard that phrase. So then you begin. If you can take up the activities of devotional service, including the relationships with others that are part of that devotional service, in the mood of service, that helps. I mean, maybe I may not be my mind fixed upon Krishna, but at least I like to serve. And in the mood of service, so something, you know, the phrase that I use is not loving detachment, but which was the phrase that you used, but detached caring. I care, but I'm not the master. Krishna is the master. I'm the servant. So I care, so I'm serving very conscientiously. But I'm not the master. I'm not the controller. That's the detachment. It's up to Krishna. I can do my best. So let me do my best. And the outcome is up to Krishna. Like, you know, going out on book distribution each day, Chakri's, he wants to distribute books. He cares. But there's, you know, it's up to Krishna. So let me put energy in the caring department, but also let go of being the thought of I'm the controller. The outcome of that effort, so in service and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, fill in the blank, whatever we do for Krishna. It's not that we don't care. You know, I'm cooking the offering and, oh, everything burned. I guess that's okay because Krishna wanted to be burned. But, you know, that's not the right idea. We care. So we be more attentive in making sure things don't burn. Done nicely. We care.
May I ask a follow-up question to that?
Why not?
So when we do care, what are we taking responsibility for?
Our service, and the outcome is up to Krishna. That's we take responsibility for our service, the effort that we apply, how conscientious we are, how sincere we are in making that effort. If we're just like really unsuited for a particular service, someone can, you know, that person who engaged you in that service can remove you from that service and give you another service that you're suited for. But you're given a service, and you just, you know, the illiterate Brahmin, he was given a service. He just did a service, even though he couldn't read. He was told to read. Prabhupada was given a service that he thought it was not possible, but he was given that service. So we prepared himself and carried out the service. Results are up to Krishna. His responsibility. Your question was, what responsibility do we take? You're carrying out that service diligently, conscientiously, to you, whatever capacity you have. Results are up to Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
A following question as well. I was just wondering if there are some services which come in a default way, like nobody else can replace that service. It's kind of in a personal relation as a mother, as a wife, or as a daughter. So sometimes it would be challenging with those relations, but that's the service we have to do because it's our duty. So, but we still feel challenging, and sometimes service means, you know, we try to have a service member, still it gets faded, you know.
Well, it's not because of the circumstance. It's because of our weakness of commitment to the service attitude. You can't do more than what you can do. You have your capacity, and it's a challenge, and you do your capacity. And if the service requires more than your capacity, you can't do more than your capacity. But it's just, in the scenarios that you've described, there's some duties that just have to be done. So, you know, with folded palms, we let Krishna know, this, I'm doing my best. If you wish to give me some further capacity, great. And the other personalities, I'm trying to my capacity. If you can think of some way that I can get some more capacity, great. Doing my capacity. But you don't have to like abandon the service mood because like it, you know, the what requires is daunting beyond your capacity. Stay, maintain the service mood. That you know, you have a master, Krishna. Guru and Krishna, they're my masters. And I have some service. That's the service mood. I'm doing this as a service. And there are other persons from the description that you gave, you know, relatives or family members or some other people. And, you know, they know that I'm limited. And I'm limited. I know I'm limited. Let me try my best. Not in a doership, but in a service mood. And not feel failure because I don't have the capacity. I'm striving. That's my perfection. That, you know, whatever, like Prabhupada said, even if nobody had come, I was carrying out the order of my spiritual master. I felt so satisfied. Perfection. Just carry out the order of the spiritual master in the mood of service. And if some qualification is needed, Krishna wants to give, he can give. Yoga kshema vahamyam. One who has faith in Krishna, go carry on like that. All of what we're doing is like way beyond our capacity. Way beyond our capacity. All of what we're doing, way beyond our capacity. I mean, take any one of the things that we do, and it's way beyond our capacity. Don't become a mother and father unless you can deliver your dependents from birth and death. Okay. given some opportunity to serve. Anything else? Shreya, you had something. No? You were looking like that, like when you're contemplating something. You're okay. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.